Shabbat Shalom. What does it mean to be held accountable? If you jump the turnstile in the subway and you don't get caught, are you still committing a crime? If you cheat on a test and the teacher doesn't notice, have you done something wrong? If you take that exercise class and cheat on the exercises, no one notices, do you still get the full workout? And finally, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one around to hear it, does it make a sound? What does it truly mean to be accountable for our actions? How often have we done something we knew we probably shouldn't, but we figured we could get away with it since no one was watching? Would we have acted differently if we thought someone had been watching? When my girls were younger, and they would relay what happened in a specific situation, if I thought they might not be telling the whole truth, I would ask them, if I were to watch a tape of what happened, what would it show me? Being the digital kids that they are, it was not so unusual for them to imagine that a video of the incident in question might exist. By the way, it never did. We never had a nanny cam or a security camera. But knowing that I might discover what they had tried to hide usually inspired them to come clean about whatever they had been forgetting to tell us. I was able to encourage them to tell the whole truth for quite a while with this tactic. Finally, one of them thought to ask me, "Is there really a tape?" To which I told them there's not, but that we should act as if our actions were to be found out. In other words, if you don't want people knowing what you did, it's probably a better idea not to do it in the first place. We talked about doing the right thing even when no one is watching, simply because it is the right thing, and about how bad things are still bad even if nobody sees it. While this conversation may not have happened in late summer or early fall, this is the same idea we discuss every year at the High Holidays. We talk about how our actions throughout the year have been recorded by God, and we are now being held accountable. We are held to account for all of our actions, those that were made known and those that were hidden from everyone except God. How would we act differently if we knew or even thought that we were being recorded throughout the day? What actions would we be sure to take or avoid taking if we were afraid it would become known? This week, we read an interesting passage in the Bible. We are once again reminded about the need for cities of refuge. A city of refuge was a safe haven for those who unintentionally killed someone, thinking manslaughter, not murder. While the Torah holds the belief that punishment should be retributive, an eye for an eye, a life for a life, a topic for another sermon, even the Torah acknowledges that there could be a scenario in which a death had been caused unintentionally, but that our actions were still responsible for that loss of life. Let's take the example that Deuteronomy teaches us. A man goes out with another fellow into the grove to cut wood, and his hand swings the axe to cut down the tree. The axe head flies off the handle and strikes the other so that he dies. The one who killed probably bore no ill will towards his fellow. It was not premeditated, and the one who swung his axe probably feels remorse. But none of these changes the fact that someone's life was still ended. Even the Bible knew that the appropriate use of the retributive rule of a life for a life wasn't appropriate because that life hadn't been intentionally taken. But at the same time, the biblical authors also recognized that there needed to be some consequence for the fact that a life had been lost. Thus, the city of refuge. One who killed unintentionally could live out their life protected from the possible vengeance of the deceased loved ones, but also not allowed to return fully to their previous life. In other words, there was an understanding that a negative action had happened, but there was consideration for the fact that it had been unintended. What actions have we taken this year that, though they may have been unintentional, may have caused harm? What is our responsibility to repair the damage that we may have unintentionally caused? Even if our actions were unintentional, we still bear some responsibility to repair what has been broken. This week, we also entered the month of Elul, the month where we are supposed to begin that yearly accounting of our souls. Each year, we are asked to hold ourselves accountable. Did we live up to who we are trying to be? Did we succeed? Where did we succeed? And where did we fall short? Did we actually put into this year what we had planned? And did we actually get out of this year what we had hoped? Those of you who receive our Elul Values Exploration videos each week know that this first week of Elul, our staff is pondering what it means to embark on a true cheshbon hanefesh, a true accounting of our souls. Without giving away too much of what you'll see over the course of this week, I will tell you that each of our staff members share their thoughts about exploring how they hold themselves accountable. While each of us differ in our approach, the result is similar. It is during this month leading up to Rosh Hashanah that we are expected to replay the video of our own year, even the parts where our actions may have been unintentional but harmful, even the parts where we may have successfully kept hidden from everyone but ourselves and God. By taking a true accounting of all of our actions, we will hopefully be able to work to amend the imperfect parts so that as we move into the new year with a plan, we can put our best foot forward each day. And by the way, I think we solved the age-old question. If a tree falls in the forest, even if no one's around, it does make a sound. Shabbat Shalom.